James chapter 3. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body, to put it into self-control, is what he's saying. In fact, that is a warning to all those who step in a calling that God has not called them to. When you're called by God in ministry, you know it, and you know what you're called to do. Amen? Glory to God. There are many false pastors and false prophets and self-proclaimed apostles and false teachers and false evangelists that are not called by God. For whatever reason, they went into the ministry by their own desire or will. And that is not what we're called to do. In fact, a few years ago on the radio, I was listening to an interview of someone who ministered at the Promise Keepers meeting, and the message he ministered were for pastors. Pastors to get right with God. And of course, when people come to the altars, therefore they're given these cards to fill out after the altar call, and the service is done and over with, and they do a quick questionnaire that they fill out. Many do. Maybe not all, but many do. And in that particular service, there were 30 pastors, according to this questionnaire, has come to the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time. Pastors who came to the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time. They were pastors for years before this. What were they preaching? What were they teaching on if they didn't know the Lord? See, it's a scary thought that many go into the ministry with their own agenda or motives. But if you're not called by God to minister, he says right here, don't. Why? Because the ministers that God appoints will be judged more strictly than anyone else. Amen. Will be dealt with more strictly. And that's what he's saying here. And that's a warning to us. It says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. But only minister when you're called. And only minister what God calls you to minister, tells you to minister. Do it his way. Glory to God. By his word. By his words. And not by your own opinion. Glory to God. Lest we shall receive a stricter judgment. Amen? For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body, to put it into subjection under Jesus Christ, to put it under self-control through faith. Amen? Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? No. From the water's opening comes either sweet water or bitter water. It can't be of both. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. And what is the root of all that? Faith. To living right in the sight of God. Just remember, faith is the very heart and soul of works. And these are the works. He's telling us how to live and conduct ourselves worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, worthy of Jesus Christ himself, who is holy, and our holy God, hallelujah, who has saved us from the pit of hell. And we ought to live as he has walked on earth. And this is another way we do that. This is another biblical principle to practical living. Tame the tongue. Jesus also taught this in Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 33, says, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old. This is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Now, he's not talking about a profanity here. He's talking about making an oath, first off. But also swearing and cussing. Profanity, foul mouth, is not of God either. It's sin. And that mouth comes from Satan. Because Jesus says, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything else, any excuse, anything other than that is from Satan. Let's go back. So he's dealing with oaths, right? But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. The earth is God's footstool. Nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one, the devil. Excuses. Excuses. Someone asks you a question. Did you do this? Yes or no? You don't make up excuses. Well, you know, that's from Satan. Excuses are from Satan. Profanity is not of God. Because that's found in Galatians chapter 5. The fruits of the flesh. The fruits of Satan. The fruits of the Antichrist. And they are these. Now the works of the flesh are evident in verse 19. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, profanity. When you get angry, the flesh cuts. James says the bridle of the tongue. Amen. Our finger gets in the way, and we're hammering a nail in, and we slip on that hammer and hit our finger. What's the first thing that comes to our mind before we speak? Profanity. That's the flesh. And that's what it is. Outbursts of wrath. And it doesn't stop there. Outbursts of wrath isn't just profanity. But railing someone is another word for it. In other words, in this day and hour, telling people where to go and how to go there. That's outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the likes of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because it is the fruit of the flesh, the fruit of Satan, fruit of sin. Back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. You have heard it that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also, without complaining. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I mean, here's another point of Jesus. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Not only to do good to them in blessing, but speak blessings on them. Pray for them. Glory to God. And do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same?
In other translations, it says, do not even pagans do the same things? Love those who love them? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do that? That's another thing. If someone has walked into your congregation and you've never seen that person before, do you not greet them? I do all the time. In fact, I get excited, a genuine excitedness, not a false excitedness, you know, to make them feel welcomed at home. And that's what our church is about that I go to, Grace Community Church in Arroyo Hondo. And that's what we're about. And we fellowship after church. Amen. We make it a point to stay and talk to one another, to see where everyone's at. Glory to God. Any need of prayer, or someone's in need of something. Our congregation is well taken care of, hallelujah, not just by God. And praise God for that, because of obedience. Not because of our pastors, hallelujah, but because of the congregation really do care. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But do you do that? And if not, you should. Amen. Because that's part of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, of love, joy, peace. And it's a genuineness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But the point here, again, is your tongue tamed? And if not, the Lord is going to deal with you on these matters. Because it's so important. Because if you lie, for example, if you lie, guess what? When you tell someone about Jesus Christ, they're not going to believe you. Because everyone senses something about you. Even the Lord will testify on your behalf, good or bad, to others that you come in contact with. Whether you're right in the sight of God in the faith, you have powerful faith, or not. You know, have you noticed that, you know, people will come to you out of the blue and ask for prayer? Because they sense that you have powerful faith and that you believe God. Amen. And that you're a praying man. Guess what? They're going to come up to you out of the blue. I've had that done many of times. Glory to God. Another thing? Again, lying. If you lie, even the smallest little thing, or withhold truth from someone, when you tell someone about Jesus Christ, they won't believe you. Because they're sensing something about you that ain't right, and they're not going to believe it. The lips and the mouth and the tongue are a very powerful tool in the hands of the living God. And we need to learn how to use it properly. Glory to God. Amen. Because again, the Holy Spirit asks this question through James in verse 11 of James chapter 3. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Certainly not. Then why do we bless and curse if a spring doesn't hold sweet and bitter water? Why then do we curse or bless with the same mouth? Amen. And another analogy here. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bears figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Anyone who claims to be wise and with understanding would do what the Bible says to do. For the Lord to train me on how to bridle my tongue in many different areas. One area was, and there's times I gotten hurt on the job, very minor stuff, you know, but it was just enough to want to blurt out, you know, a cuss word or something like that, right? Or to act in haste, you know, like hit something or whatever, right? It's really to alleviate tension and stress and pain. And I understand. But the one thing the Lord showed me to do is to praise God. And if it looks kind of weird, like, well, why are you praising God? You know, your finger was almost cut off. Why are you praising God? I'm not praising God that I cut my finger. He didn't cause that to happen. He didn't allow it to happen. I just, out of my stupidity, caused that to happen. Right? But I praise God because it's better than cursing. It's better than speaking profanity, the words of Satan. Not only that, praise God in the process of your healing. Why not? Before you get healed. Glory to God right there in the spot. Hallelujah. Killing two birds with one stone, praise the Lord. Amen. Try that. Train your mouth to speak praises to God when you hurt yourself or whatever. I guarantee you, he'll be better off in the long run, glory to God. To bridle the tongue, that's what we're talking about, amen? In everything, especially when someone comes against you, and all you want to do is tell them where to go and how to go there, right? That's a flesh. Instead, tell them the truth through God's word. Speak the truth in love through God's word, and watch the power of God change that person or change that atmosphere. Because you never know. Satan might come along to try to test you and see, okay, are you in the faith of Jesus Christ? Are you strong in the faith of Jesus Christ or not? What are you going to do if I send my disciple after you in this way? Is it going to upset you? Are you going to come after this person? Are you going to get revenge? What are you going to do? Are you going to go God's way? See, you never know. You never know. And when you do fail the test, embrace it. Learn from it. Repent from it. And let that truth change your heart. And then move on. Move on. Hallelujah. And you'll be tested again and again. Tried again and again for the same things until you get it. Amen. I had to. Many others, I'm sure, testify the same thing. They had to as well. Glory to God. But what's the reason for it? If we go back to Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us. Starting in verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect when they did correct us. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father, the Holy Heavenly Father, the Creator of heaven and earth and the seas and everything in them, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of spirits, and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. Talking about the analogy of earthly fathers. But he, our God, for our profit, that we may partake of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, here's the point. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And only children of God are subject to chastening and discipline and convictions and corrections and instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Glory to God. Amen. That's what the Word of God also tells us. Why? Because we have to train this flesh. We have to train this flesh to do the will of God, to obey God in everything. Amen. That's part of the battle that we have to battle as Christians every day. The flesh. The will of the flesh. But eventually the flesh will give in if we keep it under subjection, if we force it under subjection, always, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like Romans chapter 8, verse 1 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the point. If you're in Christ Jesus, you walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Therefore, you won't allow the flesh to take over. You won't gratify your flesh, but you got to train and discipline your flesh to do this, to be under subjection of the Word of God and of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praise God. That's why he is our helper. According to John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit is our helper, and he helps us in this. If we obey him, if we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Amen. Glory to God. And eventually it will get easier and easier and easier. And it does. I am living proof of it. It does. And it gets easier. Glory to God. In fact, wanting to go back to the old habits and the patterns of this fallen world of sin and of devil and of unrighteousness, it's hard to even start to think that you want to go back. Really, I'm serious. This is the point where I'm at in the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I perfect? No. I still have to be trained in many different ways, glory to God. I'm learning through the training of the Lord how to use the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. That's where I'm at with the Lord right now. In order to be a soul winner, you first got to learn how to be a Christian. Amen. Glory to God. To keep this flesh under subjection, to keep this tongue bridled. Hallelujah. Under the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we are the temples of the living God. Amen. We are the temples of the living God, I said. That's found in
In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 19, says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." This body is not ours. It's God's. This tongue of ours is not ours, but it's God's. Another thing that comes to mind, Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God." Imitators of Christ. Walk like he has walked and taught us how to walk as an example. He is our best example. A pastor or a friend or whatever is not the greatest example in the world, but I'll tell you this, Jesus Christ is, and the Word of God is. If we walk like he had walked, guess what? Then we will do well. And we'll be an example, not only to the world, but to our brethren as well. Glory to God. Amen? Hallelujah. These are basic biblical principles to practical living, glory to God. And this is what active faith looks like. Back to James chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his work are done in the meekness of wisdom, the wisdom of God." In other words, be hearers of God's word and doers also. You know what understanding means? It means do what the word of God says. As a person with much understanding of God's word, if you do what he commands, what he says, amen. That's what it means. It's like in Job chapter 28:28 tells us. It says, "And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, the word of God. And to depart from evil is understanding." To run away from evil, to do what God's word says, what it says, to repent, to turn from wickedness, to turn away from the wicked things that we do and turn back to the living God. Hallelujah. That's understanding. If you do it, that's understanding. Or how about Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions." Fools despise the word of God and its instructions. Hallelujah. And they have no understanding if they despise it, if they don't do what the word of God says. They have no understanding of God's word nor of God himself. Verse 14. "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without the hypocrisy. Now the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." And we need to learn how to be in self-control always and in subjection to God's word. Why? Simply because first we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "If you love me, you would keep my commandments." Amen. These are his good commandments. These come from above. These don't come from sensual, demonic, or earthly doctrines of bridling the tongue, taming the flesh. Amen. Putting into subjection under the authority of Jesus Christ. That doctrine comes from above. Anything else is sensual and demonic and earthly, carnal. And that isn't of God. Amen. The self-seeking isn't of God. But we do these things because first we love God. Secondly, we want to be an example who Jesus Christ is to represent Jesus as ambassadors accurately in holiness, in meekness, hallelujah, with gentleness, with love of the Lord Jesus Christ, with mercy, glory to God, living by faith and not by sight, as the Word of God also tells us to do, for the just will live by faith. And this is what faith looks like in action again, glory to God. And then number three, to be used powerfully by God, because he won't use a dirty sinner who doesn't represent Jesus Christ accurately. He will not use them. In fact, he will not give them the power of the Holy Spirit if we're just lazy in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to do whatever we want to do, and at the end of the day, you know, oh, forgive me, Lord. No, or to live day in and day out just as Jesus has lived on this earth.